T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Great. Mike Lombardi is on the line with us right now. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Angelo. Hello, everyone.
Mike, we got to know, Mike, how does something like Marcus Smith first round happen? How does it happen?
I think oftentimes, you know, you look for potential in players. You know, you look for an athletic guy that you think you can develop. And most of the problems that you make in the draft are always about what you think the guy can potentially do as opposed to what you see the player do. I mean, like Derek Barnett, the first-round pick of the Eagles this year, I mean, when he tested out, his testing wasn't exactly lights out, but his tape was lights out, and he played at a high level of competition against really good players, and he played well. And so Smith's testing is better. There's some things you think you can piece together. There's a role you envision for him, and now that the scheme has changed, that role doesn't exist. It happens all over the league, Angelo. It's an inexact science. I mean, we did a study in Cleveland when I was with Belichick, and if you could be 75% accurate, you were going to be a really good scout, and I think it's hard to do.
But Mike, if you're looking at the test stuff from the combine and you're looking at the game film, what did you weigh more?
You always weigh the game tape more. Okay. You always weigh the game tape more. But college football becomes a problematic in the sense that, you know, I hear people get on TV and these all these commentators go on and they say, I watched 75 tapes on this player. Most ridiculous thing I ever heard. Because college football is about what games you watch, Angelo. Okay. I mean, I could watch a guy play at say, Penn State, and if he's playing against Akron, that's probably not the tape I want to watch. But if he's playing against Michigan, that's the tape I really want to study. So, you know, when you watch all the tape, you're telling people you're wasting time. And I think sometimes when you get a guy like Louisville, a level school, you got to be careful about the level of competition, who they're playing against. If he's in the Senior Bowl, great. And then you can evaluate him. That's the key to college scouting, is evaluating the level of competition the player's playing against.
All right, so, Mike, what happens when you're dealing with the Carson Wentz, who's not playing at Division I, but is looking great against the players he's playing? How do you weigh that?
That's the hard part. Then you got to project. And then there's four kind of scouts, Angelo. We see it all the time. So there's the poor scout, someone who can't see any talent. There's the production scout. That's the scout that just quotes all the production he sees. Then there's the picker scout, which he picks on one thing a guy can't do and just focuses on that. And then the scout that makes the most is the projection scout. You got to project the guy forward. What you see him doing and project him forward. And those are the guys at the small school that become very difficult because the level of comp. I mean, look, last year Wentz over 10 yards was under 50% completions. If you watch any of his college tape throwing the ball down the field, he's not always accurate throwing the ball down the field. It showed up at that level. It showed up in pro ball. You got to fix it. Those are things you know you got to work on. But the talent level was obvious at the school. He dominated the level of competition.
Interesting. All right, Mike, I'm trying to understand the timing of this a little bit. They went through OTAs. He didn't show up. All the stuff you do in the offseason, they wait till the eve of the opening of training camp, and then the Eagles cut Marcus Smith. Why then?
Well, I think they're trying to trade him. I mean, that's what they're trying to do, and he's trying to be traded. He's trying to go somewhere else. He knows he wasn't part of their plan. So for him to buy in and invest, and I think when you get a guy who's not going to be around your team, you know he's not going to be on your team, you're better off cutting bait. You're better off replacing him. Obviously, the front office thought that they could get something for him. Maybe they could trade him. But look, he's not going to claim because he's got that roster bonus that's due. Nobody's going to want to pay him that bonus and assume that contract. Maybe somebody will. There's always somebody – that shocks me in the NFL. But typically, you can make that decision and say, look, I'll just wait till he's a free agent and I'll work out my own contract. Why would I give him $1.5 million of free money when I don't even really know the player?
All right, Mike, let's just say you were still with the Patriots right now. Would you give him a look?
I would not claim the contract, no.
Would you do it as a free agent?
You know, if you can get him on a minimum contract, sure. You know, the one thing I learned from working for Al Davis is there's a pedigree evolved when guys get drafted high.
Yeah.
And you always have to research that pedigree and find out about it. That's why the Raiders have always been so in his day, back when the game was less complicated in terms of the salary cap and free agency, he was always willing to take a look at those guys who were high draft picks that didn't pan out.
I got it. There's a couple of things I want to ask you. I'm really mystified by something. I need your help there, Mike. Earlier this week, Doug Peterson was asked about Jordan Matthews, right? This is the weirdest thing.
Can I help Doug Peterson? I don't know about this. This is going to be fun to do. All right,
let's try this, because he was asked about Jordan Matthews and his, you know, he wasn't working out with the team. He wasn't around that much. And he said that the guy was healthy, but they weren't going to play him that much. And I can't figure out, Mike, if like they're trying to get rid of the guy. Do you think they've lost their interest right now in Jordan Matthews? Do we have this, Joe? We're still looking for it. I wanted to play for it because they were grilling him out. They're going, well, if he's healthy, why is he not being used? All right, listen to this. I need you to interpret this for me, Mike. I can't do it myself. Listen.
Just monitor as we go. Again, we don't really play a game for a long time, so I'm not concerned with.
What's wrong with his knee?
Nothing. Just rehabbing it and just keeping it healthy.
So you're holding him out of practice. You held him out of practice, but he didn't practice in spring because
he didn't practice. He didn't practice. That's right.
But, I mean, there's got to be more than something wrong in his knee than you just said nothing if he's not practicing.
You can ask our doctors. You know, I'm not a medical guy, so you can ask those questions to them.
Totally healthy, Mike, holding him out of practice. Help me out.
I think he trapped himself there. I think clearly what he's saying is they don't want to put him on the field because they're trying to trade him. They don't want to get him hurt. They don't want to assume the liability. I think he got himself trapped a little bit. If you're not putting the guy – if you just said the guy's rehabbing, then you're acknowledging he's not healthy. I mean, those words don't really go hand in hand. I'm rehabbing, but I'm healthy? No. If you're rehabbing, there's something wrong. You can't go on the field. So, obviously, he's rehabbing. He's not playing. I mean, the one thing you can do, you can happen daily. I mean, Howie's quote today about Barbe, you know, getting traded and thanked him, all that. I mean, the quotes that come out of there are just really fun to listen to because sometimes they just don't make any sense at all.
You thank a guy
for being a starter. You thank a guy for being a great player, but then you just gave him away for a conditional 2087 pick. I mean, come on.
Mike, here's the bottom line, and I'll leave Howie out of this. I'm a huge Eagles fan. I'm desperate that they be good. Should I be worried about Doug Peterson?
I would be. I mean, I've made it very clear. I think Doug's in a challenging job. I mean, look, there's no way you go to an NFL head coaching job without a lot of preparation. I mean, Henry Kissinger said in his memoirs, and I put this in the book, and I think it's really accurate. When you go to Washington, you borrow on the intellectual power you bring, and you can't renew it once you're there. And when you're a head NFL coach, you borrow on the intellectual power you bring, and it's difficult to renew when you're there. And I think that Doug, because he's had such a quick rise through the NFL, this job of being a head coach is really challenging. This job is difficult. And it requires four areas of leadership that you've got to be very pristine in, and you've got to be able to watch people do it. It's tough to just watch Andy Reid and no one else. You've got to develop your own personality. I think it's a challenging job. I think if I were an Eagle fan, I would be worried about the true ability of this man to be the leader of my franchise and be able to turn in and compete at the highest level. When I'm talking the highest level, I'm talking about beating the great coaches in the NFL. I mean, look, let's be real frank here. When you were years ago, when I was growing up in this little beach town called Ocean City, New Jersey, there was Tom Landry, there was Buddy Ryan, there was Bill Parcells, and there were Joe Gibbs in the NFC East. Now we're looking at Doug Peterson, Ben McAdoo, Jason Garrett, and Jay Gruden. I think it's a completely different venue.
I love you, Mike. You're the best. Mike, do you have a book out that I'm missing here? Because it sounds like something I want to read.
Yeah, I'm going to have a book out in 2018. And in the fall of 18, I'm going to write. That's what I've been working on, Angelo.
Nice.
Here in this,
I'm dying to read it. Mike, you're...
I hope so. I hope a lot of people read it. I mean, it's not going to be a memoirs by no means. It's basically an examination of how football really works through my... Through being able... You know, I worked for Bill Walsh. I worked for Bill Belichick. I worked for Al Davis. I mean, I'm the only person in the world that's gone to the Super Bowl with all three guys, so I think it gives me a unique perspective.
I smell a bestseller, Mike Lombardi. I got one more question. One more question, Mike. And I've been asking this of all my experts this week, and I haven't been thrilled with some of the answers.
Be careful, Mike.
Mike Lombardi, based on what you know right now, do you think the Philadelphia Eagles this season are a playoff team?
You know, I do. I have really a lot of faith in Jim Schwartz, the defense coordinator, who I've got great respect for. I think their defense is better. I think the Jernigan signing is huge. I think they got to win with their front. And I think if they can stay healthy, I think their lack of depth last year really cost them on defense. And so when I look at the NFC East, I don't see a power in Washington. I see a lot of dysfunction in Dallas. And my man Ben McAdoo up there, I think that's a great chess match when he and Peterson go hand in hand. So I think the Eagles, by just where they are talent-wise and with their defense, I think they certainly can do it. I think Blunt's got to be able to take some of the pressure off the quarterback. I don't think the quarterback's going to be the savior that all the fans that when I walk the dogs around this town think he's going to be, but I think he's going to be an effective player.
I love Mike Lombardi. You just sold like a ton of books, and it's not even out yet. I hope so. Mike, you're
thanks,
awesome,
Angela.
Man. We'll talk to you. Thanks so much, Mike.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.